Well, first, I'd like to just start off a little bit different tonight. I'd like to just start off by defining the word fellowship tonight. According to Macmillan's dictionary, and you don't have to know who that is, but the word fellowship can be defined, or another word for the word fellowship could be companionship, all right? When you have a companionship with somebody else. Another word for the word fellowship would be the word camaraderie. Does anybody in the house tonight know what camaraderie is? Three people, okay. Anyways, that's why we're defining it. All right, so another word for the word fellowship would be simply just the word friendship. When you have a friendship with somebody else, a friendship with another person, a group of people, all right? The word fellowship speaks of sharing of beliefs. In other words, you have a belief about a topic, about an ideal, and you sit down together maybe with your mom or your dad or your best friend or a cousin or whomever it is, and you sit down and you share your beliefs about a topic. You have things in common with them about that topic. The word fellowship speaks of having a sharing of experiences. Maybe you've been through some things that some other people have been through. Maybe you've experienced the same things that another has, all right? Another definition of the word fellowship is the word, it is a phrase to have mutual participation. I like that one. To have mutual participation. That means I go with a friend, with a group of people, and I participate in the same event. Maybe you'll go out to dinner. Maybe you'll go to a movie. Maybe you'll go to Disneyland. Maybe you'll go to Magic Mountain. Does anybody have any favorite places to go? Anybody want to holler some of those out? Disneyland. Oh, Disneyland. Ice hockey? Is that what you said? There's one more back there I heard. What's that? Dodger Stadium. And so you guys go out with people and you fellowship. You have a mutual participation. The word fellowship also speaks of, gosh, my cord is kind of short here. I feel like I can't move very far. The word fellowship speaks of mingling with one another, mingling with people. I read a person's MySpace once and it said, "I'm single and ready to mingle." I thought that's funny. And all the single people in the house said, "Amen." All right? So the word fellowship speaks of a mingling, all right? Another word for the word fellowship is brotherhood. How many of you guys have ever seen or heard of the TV show Band of Brothers? I know at least Luke has, all right? Most of the men. Band of Brothers is simply a TV show about a group of soldiers, a battalion of soldiers who were together and they fought different battles together. But remember, we're talking about fellowship. Another word for the word fellowship is the word society. A society being formed, coming together based on certain ideals, based on certain beliefs, okay? Well, before the United States was the United States, a group of people left England because they wanted to worship God. That was their thing in common. They wanted to worship God the way they wanted to, and so they left. They came over here, started colonies, and so they had that thing in common, right? They had a fellowship, and today we have a great nation called the United States. So fellowship, all right? Now, all too often, guys, all too often, the body of Christ, people in Christendom, if you understand that term, Christians today, we make decisions to walk down a path. We choose to pick up a certain kind of lifestyle, if you will, in order to fit in with our surroundings, in order to gain this thing called fellowship. In order to gain camaraderie, in order to gain a friendship with those around us, all right? And I don't want you to get the wrong impression tonight. Fellowship is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. God wants us all to have fellowship. And He designed us to be people of fellowship. I don't think there's anybody in the house that says that they don't want any fellowship at all, ever. There's nobody in the world who says that, you know, I want to be alone all the time. But at the same time, do you and I know when to say enough is enough? I'm not going to go down. I'm not going to pick up a certain lifestyle in order to fit in order to gain this thing called fellowship. All right? You and I, you know as well as I do that people today, it's not uncommon for people today to change their hairstyles based on the fad, based on what's going on in order to gain fellowship, in order to fit in. You and I, you know as well as I do that it's not uncommon for people to dress a certain way based on whatever, in order to try to fit in order to gain fellowship, all right? You and I both know that it's not uncommon for people to talk a certain way, they'll change their talk in order to fit in. How many of you have ever been around somebody and, you know, maybe you're at their house, they're at your house and they're talking a certain way, and then you go out and all of a sudden you're around some other people and they're talking a whole different way and you're like, do I know you? Can anybody raise their hand and testify to that, all right? It's not unusual for people to change their walk, all right? They call it having a swagger, all right? You know, so you're driving down the street and you see these people walking down the sidewalk and they're just kind of like, yeah. And let's just be honest, you weren't born that way. You weren't born walking like that. Somebody had to take that ideal. They had to take that thing and they had to push it into their life. They had to conform to that mold, if you will, to walk that way in order to fit in order to gain this thing called fellowship, camaraderie, having a mutual participation, all right? We have TV shows today dedicated to keeping up with the latest fashion trends, with the latest diet trends. I didn't know, but being vegetarian is a trend now, right? Okay, two people agree with me. Never mind. But we have TV shows dedicated to keep us up to date with the latest trends, with the movie stars, with the pop stars, what so-and-so said. All right, you know as well as I do that it's not uncommon for people to purchase certain homes, to purchase certain cars based on trying to fit in and to gain this thing called fellowship. I remember when SUVs were the big thing. Anybody remember that time? All right, everybody in Hollywood was buying an SUV. I remember in high school, everybody was all about, man, I'm going to get me an Expedition when I get older. Expeditions were the big thing. I got some witnesses in the house. How many of you guys remember the spinning rims that just recently came out? Oh, okay, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, a little while ago. Anyways, spinning rims. And there are some people who are less fortunate, but they liked them so much, they went to Walmart and got themselves some plastic ones and spun them proudly. All right, it's in order to fit in, to gain this thing called fellowship, this thing of brotherhood, this thing of society. All right, you know as well as I do that people have taken their precious God-given person, their precious God-given personality, and tried to fit it into a certain mold, in order to gain this thing called fellowship. Sadly, tonight men and women have been known to trade their character. Sadly, men and women tonight have been known to exchange their moral values for that of lesser in order to fit in to a mold, in order to gain this thing called fellowship. And if I can speak to the young men in the house, it actually, in this day and age, it doesn't matter if you're single or married, are you willing to exchange your moral values in order to fit in with something? Women in the house, are you willing to exchange your moral values, to trade your character in for that of less in order to get that guy's attention, in order to have a mutual participation with him, in order to have a friendship with him? And so tonight, young adults, I believe one of the questions God is asking us is, do you know when to draw the line? Do you know when to say enough is enough? Do you have enough of the life of God in you? Do you have enough of his love? Do you possess enough of him in you to say, you know what? I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I know better. I don't care if I'm different. Do you possess enough of God in the house tonight or outside, whatever you want to say, to say, I don't mind being different, all right? How many of you realize that the world may do a good deed here and there? They may make a good decision here and there, but ultimately they're not going to follow after the things of God. So do you know when to say, enough is enough? I'm not going to listen to that kind of music. I'm not going to go to that kind of place. I'm not going to watch that movie. All right? If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to 1 John. There's four Johns in the Bible. There's the Gospel of John, and then there's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We are going to the 2nd John, which is actually 1st John. And I don't mean to be confusing. 1 John, it's after Hebrews, then James, then 1st and 2nd Peter, and then 1st John. Really a simple message tonight, but it's good for us all to hear. 1st John chapter 5, we're going to start reading in verse number 19. All right? We know, the Bible says, we know we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The Bible says in other translations that the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world lies under the power of wickedness. And then verse 20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. But the main part I want to focus on is that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, but God. But God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. So just four quick, simple things tonight that we need to understand. If the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one and God has given us an understanding, four quick things we need to understand. The first one is, number one, that our fellowship, our camaraderie, our companionship, our friendship, our mingling, our mutual participation is with God the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Turn back to your left a couple pages to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, we're just going to start reading in verse number 1. And watch what the Bible says. I love this so much. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. So our fellowship, our camaraderie, our companionship, I already said all that a million times, say it again anyway, is with God the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, you may or may not know, but I've played soccer all my life. Like, I started at age 7. Wow. Started at age 7, and I've been playing ever since, all the way through high school and college. And once I got out of college, soccer kind of slowed down for me, and I joined a soccer team about a month and a half ago. Now, I've been playing off and on seasons. I think 9 months is the longest time I've been out of soccer. But I joined a soccer team about a month and a half ago in order to keep in shape, in order to go out and have some fun. And so, I joined this team kind of like, they had like 3 or 4 games left of the season, right? So I joined this team. I get all my stuff ready. I'm all excited. I'm watching my soccer videos, getting all pumped up like, yeah, I could do that, right? And so I show up, I put on my stuff, I warm up, I get out there on the field, I play the game, the first game we won, and then the game is over, and I go back to walk off the field, take off my stuff, change my shoes, and I go home. Kind of normal for the first time, you don't really know anybody. But I notice after this month and a half has gone by, nothing has really changed. I don't really talk to the team all that much. I kind of just show up, hey man, how's it going? Good. Change my shoes. Go on the field. I talk a lot on the field like, pass me the ball. Pass me the ball. I'm open. Anyways, but as soon as I come off the field again, change my cleats and put on my shoes, and me and my wife get in our car and we go home. And recently I was walking back to my car and I was like, what's wrong with this picture? You know, because I'm not a person that necessarily keeps to himself. I'm not so introvert that I don't talk to people. But what I realized is every time I showed up, all the guys were talking about was how they got drunk last weekend, how they're going to, the party they're going to next weekend, how they're plastered the day of the game, and they go out there running around, and they're talking about how they see two balls while they're running, and I'm just like, what do I say to that? I don't have any sharing of beliefs. Do you see what I'm saying? I don't have any mutual participation. I can't chime in and be like, yeah, you know, I know what you're talking about. All right? And it's not to put them down, you know, they're unsafe people, what can you expect? I remember one time recently, I'm sitting there in the group, and I'm changing my cleats and stuff, and this girl's going on about how she's living with this guy, and somehow he didn't have the key to the house, or he forgot his key, or whatever, but he had to break in the house, and he scared her half to death, but I just don't have any. And so I'm walking back to my car, and it's not that I wanted to have such great fellowship with them, but the Lord just reminded my heart, Joey, it's because your fellowship is with me. Your camaraderie is with me. Joey, of course you're going to be different. Your fellowship is with me, all right? And I don't mean to pick on Luke, but he didn't know I was going to talk about this. I think I might have mentioned this once before, but he's come to me, and just as we go out, and he's talked about his hockey team that he recently played on, and he experienced the same thing. You get out there, have a lot of fun, and hit the puck around, score a couple goals, and the next thing you know, you get off the ice, and all right, man, I'll catch you later. And his team has been around for a long time, so after the game, they always go out to drink and party and get wasted, and they don't invite Luke. Why? Because Luke's fellowship is with the Father. Luke's fellowship is with his Son, Jesus Christ. All right? So tonight, guys, your camaraderie, where you get filled up, where you gain fellowship, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. All right? So remember, we're talking about four quick understandings that God has given us. Number one was our fellowship is with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Number two, it's okay to be different. It's okay to be different. In fact, it's good to be different. Thank God I'm not going out getting wasted every weekend. Thank God, you know, from time to time, I don't wake up next to a stranger. Thank God I don't have to live by the dictates of the flesh. I can live by the dictates of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I can live by his word. I'm not bound any longer to the course of sin and death. Sin and its wages of death. I can live according to the Spirit, which is life and peace, the Bible says. All right, so turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. It's okay to be different. It's good to be different. Don't let the devil or anybody else tell you otherwise. Amen. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And look at what the Bible says. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Look at your neighbor and say, it's good to be different. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. All right, so it's good to be different. Kind of just a simple little point. It's good to be different. And as you can see, God intended for us to be different. How many of you realize that as a Christian, you're going to be different? All right? As a Christian, in fact, most of your lifestyle is going to be a whole lot different than the way the world is. All right? So remember four quick things. Number one was our fellowship is with God. Number two, it's okay to be different. Number three, and this one is you'll suffer persecution. You'll suffer persecution, all right? It may not sound like a shouting one, but I think you'll get to shouting by the end, or at least happy by the end. All right, turn with me to John chapter 15, verse 20. John chapter 15. Still hear pages turning, that's okay. John chapter 15, verse 20. And listen to what Jesus says, all right? He says, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And verse 21, but all these things they will do to you for my namesake, because they do not know him who sent me. All right, Jesus said you'll face persecution. Now if you'll turn one chapter over to John chapter 16 in verse number 33, and don't worry, Sindel, I forgot to put this one on the thing. Oh, you do have it? 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. Everybody give Sindel a round of applause tonight. Just before we started, we're like, hey, Sindel, by the way, she was like 3 minutes before service, she was like trying to scarf something down to eat. Because we're all hungry. And I was like, Sindel, we added a song. She's like, what? So she came running over here. So she's doing a great job. Amen. All right. John chapter 16, verse 33. And listen to the words of Jesus. He says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Now here's the thing about persecution and tribulation. There's this idea out there that if you live a perfect life, or once you become a Christian, you ain't ever going to face another problem again. Ever again. I became a Christian today. I retired from problems for the rest of my life. And that just simply is not true. All right? The truth is you can live a perfect life. Jesus did. and look at the persecution he faced. All right? So you can live a perfect life. You can live the life God called you to. But guess what? You and I will still face tribulation. You and I will still face persecution. But the thing about it is, if you know ahead of time, if you know that, hey, in this life I'm going to face persecution, I'm going to face tribulation, then when it comes, you won't be taken by surprise. All right? The Bible talks about that persecution and tribulation arise for the word's sake. In other words, it's come up because the word has been implanted in your heart and it's come to try to steal it out, all right? But if you know ahead of time, you won't be taken by surprise and you'll be able to stand through the tribulation, all right? And the good news tonight too, and I love this verse in verse 33, Jesus says that in me you have peace. You'll have peace through the tribulation. When you make that stand and say, you know what? I'm not going to have that in my life. The very thing, I'm going to live without that. The very thing that the world says that you can't live without. And so you know as well as I do, they're going to put you down. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to kick you out. They're going to reject you. They're going to make you feel weird and all, et cetera, right? All right, all that stuff. But the truth is you can have peace through the tribulation. And then lastly, Jesus says, and be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And if he overcame the world and you're in him, then you're going to overcome too. Amen? All right, so four quick things that you need to understand, that you and I need to understand. Number four is godliness with contentment is great gain. If you'll turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 6, I just want you to read it for yourself. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, and basically my point is the verse. I'll let the Bible speak for itself tonight. But it says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. I had a good friend, a good friend of mine, and he came up to me one time and he was like, you know, Joey, I'm just discouraged. I'm not satisfied. I don't feel satisfied. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm working another job. I need to make money. I want to make more money. I want to go buy things. I want to, you know, and because I've picked up this other job, I'm really not coming to church as often as I used to. At the time, he was a second year Bible college student. And he said, and you know what, I'm also planning to drop out of Bible college. I'm just not satisfied. I don't know. And so the Lord gave me this, just kind of put this verse on my heart for him, and in talking to him, I was like, you know, Jonathan, the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. And you should have seen his eyes light up at that moment. You should have seen, because what had happened was he got his eyes on the things of the world a little bit. And they started saying, you know, the same thing that the world says to you and I, you can't live without it, you got to have it, your life isn't anything without this thing. But he'd forgotten that godliness with contentment is great gain. All of a sudden he remembered, all I need to add to my life is not cars and houses and different stuff, is not a girlfriend or a wife or all the other things that the world lives for. If I just add godliness, godlikeness to my life, all right, godliness to my life, and I'm content with that, then the Bible says, and the Bible is the truth, that's great gain. Not expeditions with spinning rims, not big homes, not women, not men, whatever, all right, but godliness with contentment. All right, so just kind of recapping, the Bible says that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, but God has come and given us an understanding. Point number one was that our fellowship is with God and with his son, Jesus Christ. Number two, it's okay to be different. In fact, it's a good thing to be different. Number three, you'll suffer persecution, but be of good cheer. And finally, number four, godliness with contentment is great gain. If you got something from the Word of God tonight, give him a great big praise.